Yet still, with such hyperbolic enthusiasm, one can't help but wonder, am I really seeing this clearly? Do I want this to be something so badly that I'm deluding myself? The best in Bitcoin made audible. I am Guy Swan, and this is Bitcoin Audible. What is up, guys? Welcome back to Bitcoin Audible. I am Guy Swan, the guy who has read more about Bitcoin than anybody else, you know. And we are getting back into this week. We are continuing the Bitcoin Times Volume 3, but I'm actually working on some recordings right now of some of those pieces, but some of them are really long. The one I'm working on right now is Jeff Booth's The Greatest Game, and it is amazing. You guys are going to absolutely love it, so don't forget to subscribe. But right now, we've got one from Bitcoin Magazine, and there's actually like four. This whole series is actually really good. They're short little articles on Bitcoin Magazine, and it's the end of year look back on 2020. And this piece is, I might actually do a couple of these because they're just really good. And, you know, we're closing out the year here, so what better time to look back on 2020 and really kind of get an overview of what's been happening. So I'm going to be dropping these in and out while we are also going through the end of Bitcoin Times Volume 3, or going through the other articles. Like I said, we're just absolutely slammed with things to read right now, so lots of awesome stuff. So don't forget to subscribe to Bitcoin Audible. And a massive thank you to our lovely sponsors. We have three right now supporting the show, and they are the full suite together of everything you need for a full-on Bitcoin experience. We've got Levvl.co, LVL.co, which is mobile Bitcoin banking, and a free exchange so that you can swap between currencies, you can buy and sell with no trading fees, and you have a fully integrated Bitcoin bank account. That is LVL.co. Then we've got your savings and hardware wallet solution, the Bitbox. By the Shift Crypto team, this device is just one of the easiest to use and secure open source hardware wallets that you can get. I have been recommending the crap out of this to the people new to the space, and you can check them out at guyswan.com/bitbox. And then lastly, for an excellent mobile wallet that is just getting ready to come out of beta, the non-custodial Hexa mobile wallet, H-E-X-A, a great way to have multiple accounts with various levels of security for the funds you need on hand with your mobile wallet. You can check all three of these guys out at guyswan.com. All right, so the read we are getting into today, looking back on 2020, is what are we most bullish on? And it's by my boy, John Vallis, over at Bitcoin Rapid Fire. You guys got to be following him. But his piece on Bitcoin 2020 is titled, "After an Unforgettable Year, I Am Most Bullish on Bitcoiners," by John Vallis. 2020 was unforgettable, especially for Bitcoin. To help memorialize this year for our readers, we asked our network of contributors to reflect on Bitcoin's price action, technological development, community growth, and more in 2020, and to reflect on what all of this might mean for 2021. These writers responded with a collection of thoughtful and thought-provoking articles. Click here to read all of the stories from our end-of-year 2020 series. Boy, what a year it's been. It's hard to find the words to address 2020. I have wrestled with mixed emotions throughout this year, and I suspect many of you have as well. Anger and frustration, yes, but also validation and excitement. So many of the things we've been talking about for so long, all of the trends we've been tracking, and predictions we've been making appear to be more and more accurate. I found the apparent acceleration of events this year to be quite sobering, and it has definitely motivated more serious preparation for whatever may lie ahead. I can't imagine having to confront the challenges of the world today without Bitcoin. The fact that it exists gives me a profound sense of peace. I sometimes refer to it as a heartbeat of existential comfort, beating roughly once every 10 minutes. As long as it keeps beating, I have hope for the future. Coinciding with this hope is an immense gratitude, an inexhaustible enthusiasm, and a palpable energy that seems directly generated by Bitcoin. I know many of you feel it too. It's amazing, isn't it? No matter how crazy the world gets, the hope that Bitcoin inspires is so amazingly powerful that it casts away despair and focuses your will toward building a better future. It's like a drug that awakens the best aspects of yourself and compels you to refine and express them. Yet, still, with such hyperbolic enthusiasm, one can't help but wonder, am I really seeing this clearly? Do I want this to be something so badly that I'm deluding myself? These are very important questions to ask, especially when dealing with something as potentially disorienting as an unprecedented paradigm shift in the very foundation of society, money. Such a change could turn the world on its head, so it's only natural, in fact, necessary, to question yourself about it and maintain a critical perspective. Of course, it does help to assuage those fears when some of the brightest and most successful people on the planet begin to come to the same conclusion that you did, which has been an exciting development this year. As it turns out, when they put Bitcoin through their own critical lens, some of these people are coming to similar conclusions as many of us have. What's more, these people from the traditional corporate and financial world not only agree with us, but they're actually looking to us for insight and guidance. As legendary investor Paul Tudor Jones recently said, explaining why he is even more bullish on Bitcoin, quote, "There is an enormous contingent of really, really smart people who believe in it," end quote. So not only does it seem less and less likely that we're crazy, but as fate would have it, we may very well be the group of disagreeable visionaries carrying the torch at the vanguard of possibly the biggest technological revolution in human history. That's pretty fucking rad. And this actually brings me to the thing that I've been most inspired by this year, most excited about, most eager to amplify, and most grateful to engage with. Bitcoiners. Between the chaotic world around us, the memes, number go up, Citadel dreams, and grapes and shit, it's easy to lose sight of the real story here. You. In my opinion, we aren't looking out at the world waiting for this to happen. We are what is happening. We're what happens when human beings interact with something with Bitcoin's unique characteristics. And we are the ones through which the new world is beginning to emerge. After all, Bitcoin is just a tool. It's only revolutionary insofar as its unique attributes generate novel possibilities for action. That is to say, new behaviors. And what are those possibilities? We're only at the very beginning of figuring that out. And as great as many in this space are at exploring and articulating some of them, their most truthful reflection is in the changes inspired in each of us. I do often wonder, though, why these particular people? Why such similar and consistent changes amongst such a disparate group of people? Sure, the narrative surrounding Bitcoin at any one time can have a self-selecting effect for certain types of people, but there is clearly more to it than that. As strange as it may sound to some, it seems almost irrefutable at this point that those novel possibilities that Bitcoin introduces, and perhaps even something more fundamental about its very nature, is actually having a transformative effect on many who engage with it. But how? Why? Are we just conforming to the parameters of the network to be more fit to capitalize on the opportunities it offers? Are we being somehow imprinted and transformed by its unchanging, incorruptible nature? Is it simply a matter of the power of aligned incentives that apply equally to everyone? Just a, quote, time preference thing? Twitter influence? Some kind of alchemical transformation? It's likely all of this and more. Regardless of how, this is what I've noticed across nearly all of the Bitcoiners I've had the good fortune of connecting with. Bitcoin changes you, and that's what this is all about. In fact, that's what every revolution is always about. Changing our behavior, changing how we act and interact. It's such a peculiar thing. Is this network that lives on the internet fundamentally reorienting people's perspectives? How they see the world? How they see themselves? That seems to be the case. I know many of you feel this. You just can't help but see things differently, as though a veil was lifted, and it's now increasingly difficult to relate to the person you were before Bitcoin. Whatever process is at play, perhaps nothing is more powerful than this. Bitcoin instills hope, and in my opinion, many of these changes are a reflection of just how powerful that can be. Don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about, quote, everyone that owns Bitcoin here. I'm talking about capital B Bitcoiners. If you know, you know. If not, keep digging down the rabbit hole. But is all this change good? I believe the vast majority of it is. At the risk of generalization, I found Bitcoiners to be humble, intelligent, kind, rebellious, principled, direct, ambitious, hopeful, and dedicated to the pursuit of truth. They're the unlikely heroes of this story, and if you show up with a genuine desire to learn, your ego in check, with good intentions and open to wherever that road may take you, you'll find a, quote, community bursting with support, respect, camaraderie, and, well, love. I often chuckle at the absurdity of the fact that what seems like a bunch of hooligans lurking on the internet, shaming people into buying Bitcoin, are actually the force behind the most positive change happening in the world today. Bitcoiners are the curious and courageous ones, opening their hearts and minds to the truth of this thing, and allowing themselves to be transformed in the process. As time pushes forward, Bitcoin will inevitably be judged based on the people, communities, and societies which it fosters. To me, Bitcoiners offer a window into the future, and even now, even while we are all so early in this process, I can see a glimmer of it, and it's fucking astonishing. My biggest highlight of 2020? Bullish on Bitcoiners. It is an honor to be among you freaks. Let's go! This is a guest post by John Vallis. Opinions expressed are entirely their own and do not necessarily reflect those of BTC Inc. or Bitcoin Magazine. Let's go indeed. So, I love this, this end of 2020 series that Bitcoin Magazine here, magazine has here is really, really good. And, this is one of those ones, particularly with a couple of recent, there's a great, thread by Bitcoin Labrador. That's the Twitter handle. And it's like so along these lines of just how it is that Bitcoin changes the people involved rather than the other way around, is that this system is something, it's about how it changes the people and how the incentives alter our view of the world, our view of value, and our view of our own future versus today. And these are not minor shifts in people. These are profound, they are subtle, and they are foundational. So they have a profound effect at a second and third order shift. It's such a thing that changes at the base of you that like he says, you have a hard time remembering or relating to how the hell you saw the world before Bitcoin, is that your frame of reference changes. And what you even think of as possible or where, what's even important is just completely shifted. So I really want to dig into this a little bit further, but let's take a quick break and hit our sponsor before we do. So I've recently had a few people I know personally who invested in Bitcoin just before this major run-up, and they've really been riding a rocket down the rabbit hole. So I was just having a convo with somebody who was just like, I need to run a node. I got to get on Lightning. Do I need a Raspberry Pi computer? What hardware wallet? All this crazy stuff. And I'm like, slow down. The first and most important thing you need to do is secure your savings by holding your keys. You need a secure, easy-to-use hardware wallet. That is the BitBox O2. It is actually co-founded by a Bitcoin developer, and the team is made up of serious engineers. It is Swiss-made. It's a sleek, simple design. The backup is as simple as plug in your SD card, hit the backup button, take it out. The wallet software is super minimal, and it just works. If you have started investing, get a BitBox before it turns into a ton of money and keep your Bitcoin safe. Check it out at guyswan.com/BitBox. So understand, the system of Bitcoin, what makes it revolutionary, is not simply the elements of the technology. It's what kind of behaviors and incentives it enables for the people who are able to use it. Like, for instance, like the printing press itself is not revolutionary. It was revolutionary because it allowed anyone to publish their insights, and it broke down the monopoly around the concept of thought and ideas in society. It broke down a cohesive narrative that was no longer sustainable in an age where anyone could share their thoughts or create a conflicting narrative that basically poked holes in the legacy idea of the world, the one that was no longer true. The technology simply created a new environment, and that environment changed the people. That is what every revolution is how do the incentives, how do the breakdown of a long-standing imbalance that's finally coming to fruition or finally being exposed, how do these things force people to adjust? How does it break their Overton window or break what they've thought about the world and lay out a new foundation? And one of the most incredible things about Bitcoin, the fact that it is landing when it is, while essentially the legacy narratives are crashing down around us, and the internet has splintered our Overton windows into 1,000 different pieces so that our concept of what the world is, what the truth is, who's in charge, what's legitimate, what's valuable, has just been completely flipped on its head. Like, nobody trusts the dominant narrative anymore, and the people who do just really aren't thinking. Or at least from my perspective, but therein lies kind of the thesis, is that the perspectives have split so massively. Like the chasm between how one person thinks and another has grown so great that there's no crossing that bridge anymore. They're simply not compatible views of reality. And when you see the incentives, the elements of Bitcoin, the characteristics of it, and like what they instill in people, like he talks about like, the people in Bitcoin, the capital B Bitcoiners, as they're called. One of the things that he doesn't quite, well, that's not true. He actually does touch on this, but he doesn't say it. He doesn't put it in these words, is the element of full personal responsibility. Like, we are coming from an age of blame everyone else for our problems. That no matter what it is, no matter how microaggression the problem is, you know, whatever, any sort of problem or anything that is inadequate or anything that we can complain about for any reason whatsoever, how do we figure out who to put the blame on outside of ourselves? And so much so that our entire lives is somehow our neighbor's responsibility. Like, if I'm hungry, it's not because I'm not able to produce something. If something bad happens to me, it's not because I should never have to address how well I protect myself or how well I keep up with my health or how well I eat good food rather than bad food. It's how dare someone else be healthier than me. I mean, and literally, like, that's not even an exaggeration. Like, I wish it was, but there is a whole subset. Like, we come from this unbelievably consumerist, outward viewing reactionary framing of the world where everyone else is responsible for anything that we are uncomfortable about. And to see this, like when you look at like capital B Bitcoiners, as John refers to them in this article, you see the exact opposite. You see not your keys, not your coins. You see, like, you should be running a node. It's such a focus on personal responsibility that you are responsible for this thing, and nobody is going to come save you. This is, your health is your problem. Your safety is your problem. Nobody, you can't, when the shit hits the fan, the police aren't going to come save you. They're going to save their own asses. This is true of everyone. If you make a transaction, check it with your own node. If you receive Bitcoin, don't you dare trust someone else to tell you that you received it. Like, that's the elements, the core element in Bitcoin is that you are in charge. You are the final say. You are the sovereign owner. And anything that essentially happens is your fault. It's your responsibility. And a lot of Bitcoiners had to pay for that. I know the cost of failing in that responsibility. And so do a lot of other people who were in Bitcoin in those early days. And I knew them, and I know them still. And the cost that they paid for learning these lessons and instilling these into memes that then became the most important thing and to hear, the rules of the Bitcoin space. They are there for a reason. They're there because a lot of people lost a ton of money by not following those rules. That by itself is a revolution, particularly coming from the world that we are in today, that could not be more opposite to that. And that is just the beginning. There's so much to, when you change fundamental incentives, like he says, like this is a paradigm shift in the very foundation of society. Money is the beginning of cooperation, of economic cooperation, rather than violent coercion. There are only two ways to deal with other people. Either you force them or you cooperate with them. Money is how we cooperate with people we don't know. It is the universal good that we use as a tool of communication against, with someone that we necessarily do not know, cannot trust, and don't have a relationship with. Otherwise, society is the size of a small family, of a tribe, of it doesn't pass the Dunbar's number, as we've referred to in the past. It cannot scale without some trusted institution to basically bridge, where I know Bob and you know Bob, therefore we can use Bob to do business together. Money is the tool that allows us to do so without needing to trust Bob. And as soon as we set up a set of incentives where Bob is in control of things, Bob abuses that. Bob becomes corrupt. Bob becomes a tyrant. And we don't want that. We don't want tyrant Bob. We want freedom. We want cooperation. We want a tool to enable us to cooperate on a global scale without an authority that decides when we can and when we can't. Bitcoin is a fundamental change to that game. And just like the internet, just like the printing press, just like all of the revolutionary technologies that come before it, it will instill a massive change in the people around it, the people who use it, and the people who begin to understand and respond to the incentives that it creates. And in time, that will essentially be everyone. It will be the society as a whole. But right now, it's this weird group of obnoxious, loud Bitcoiners who just have this stupid conviction about the vision of the world and our path into the future. And I think it's because we're sick of being, we're not going to be dependent on somebody else. We're not going to wait for somebody else to do it. This is where it's actually being built. There is no replacement for, just good God, the COVID relief bill is such a perfect, perfect petri dish for what a shit show the whole thing is. That they can't send the U.S. citizens, which they have just obliterated, that they have done a complete economic lockdown and created more poverty, despair, and suicide than any time in decades past, and that to send out a $600 check to the people that they've robbed, to a whole country they put in a soft prison, they can't do it without 5,500 pages of bullshit, pork spending, subsidies, special interests, lobbying, ridiculous regulations on copyright, and funding bomb building and drone programs and gender studies programs in Pakistan and Israel. Like, such a perfect example of the fucking disaster that the legacy system is right now. I mean, it is at the peak of absurdity. That bill should be three fucking sentences. And if anybody adds anything to it, it should be thrown out. In fact, nobody should get money. They shouldn't be printing anything. They should simply open the damn economy back up. But we won't get that because they're idiots and they're corrupt and they're incompetent. So instead, we get this ocean of corruption and special interest and everybody fighting to get their check tacked onto this pathetic excuse of putting a Band-Aid on the gunshot wound after they just shot us. No wonder everybody feels hopeless. No wonder. I sincerely question the intelligence of anyone who has any confidence whatsoever in a system that produces that. But we have a replacement. We have an alternative. One that divests from that entire clown show and takes the power and the focus and the responsibility, the control from the absolute top. I don't think, particularly in the history of America, I don't think the control has been so universally at the top of the pyramid. And it's such a huge shift. It's not like it slowly starts pouring it down the pyramid to everybody else. It's a sudden and huge shift from the very, very top to the very, very bottom, all the way back to the absolute individual. And to go from seemingly no control, to go from no responsibility for who you are or your health or your own well-being or your own livelihood or even your own emotional state, to go all the way from that, from one where I'm just 100% reliant on this authority or this leader or this president or this czar, that they are in charge and I just do what I'm told and I'll shut my mouth and close my eyes, to go from that to I am 100% in charge. I am 100% responsible. No one is going to save me. I don't want a leader. I don't want an authority. They are my keys. It is my value. It is my decision. And if anything goes wrong, I can't call or blame it on anyone else. That changes people. That changes people in a big way. And it usually hurts. You know, it doesn't change without, you don't get that big of a shift without some pain, without some fear, without some discomfort, without volatility. And all of those are very deeply tied to Bitcoin. But when you finally do that shift, it's so nice being on the other side of that wall. You feel like you're back in charge of your life. And suddenly all of that politics feels distant. It's like, oof, good God, the world's going to hell. Thank God for Bitcoin. And John Vallis, I don't know how many times I've brought this up, and I know John talks about this quite a bit too, but that without Bitcoin, the world would seem like it does seem like an insane place, but something about Bitcoin just allows me to feel like I'm sitting next to it rather than in it. And it's really hard to articulate exactly what that is and why, but it just does. But this article was just really, really good. John Vallis is one of the best to listen to or talk to about this kind of an idea of like how it is that Bitcoin changes the individual, about shifting the time preference of like how you see value, how you value your future, how it kind of destroys the consumerist mentality and suddenly makes you, that rather than thinking about which next plastic gadget or a thing that you can get or how many cars you can own, you start wondering how many cars you need. Why do I have all these extra plastic gadgets? And Suddenly everything's about like, how can I be efficient and how can I save and how can I harden the foundation of my life and my future? Suddenly looking 4 years, 5 years, 8 years, 10 years out seems not only perfectly reasonable, but the only time frame of which to actually start planning for, you know, like the bear market suddenly become this huge opportunity to like, oh my God, this is the time to build. This is the time to prepare. This is the time to stack sats and buy while this is low, while we are moving into the next phase of Bitcoin's existence and the next phase of the protocol itself. And it's just really exciting to be a part of this because it's like people are actually building a solution and they're looking to themselves. They're looking for answers rather than someone to blame. And they're tackling the biggest problems rather than hacking at the branches of this giant Leviathan. So anyway, that's my rant on Bullish on Bitcoiners by John Dallas. Great little piece for the end of year, looking back on 2020. It's been a hell of a year, and it's crazy how many people have found this show, and shit, 2020, tripled or quadrupled? I mean, I don't know. It's been like the beginning of the year chart looks silly in comparison to like the listeners and stuff now. So thank you all, everybody who's found the show and has enjoyed this and has learned something from this. Thank you so much. This has been just a hell of a ride. And good God, what a way to end the year, right? We're at what, 27 something thousand right now? I'm just absolutely skyrocketing, and I think this is just a tiny preview of everything that 2021 has to offer, and there is so much coming. You are not going to want to miss it. The last thing you should do right now is look away, because Bitcoin is going to be putting on one hell of a show for the next couple of years. With that, don't forget to subscribe to Bitcoin Audible. Another awesome, fantastic thank you to our sponsors who make this possible so that I can do this full time. They are the Hexa mobile wallet for your everyday Bitcoin use on your mobile phone, the BitBox O2 hardware wallet for your hardcore savings that's easy to use and just safe and secure, and then for your banking solution, for your mobile banking and Bitcoin no fee trading experience, Levvl.co, LVL.co, with bank wires, debit card, the whole suite. And you can check out all of our awesome sponsors and their products at guyswan.com. And with that, we will close out this episode of Bitcoin Audible. We have got a heck of a week ahead of us. A merry belated Christmas and a happy new year right around the corner. And guess what? A little surprise for the new year. We have the next episode of of Shitcoin Insider coming probably tomorrow. We just recorded it this morning, and it is all about Ripple. You are not going to want to miss it. I may be posting that in this feed. So both subscribe to Shitcoin Insider and Bitcoin Audible so you don't miss it. It is going to be a fun one. That thing is just unique among the blatant scams in crypto. And we just had a blast digging into it on the episode, or on the show. With that, we got more Bitcoin Times Volume 3. We got Jeff Booth's piece coming, and we've got a couple more, I think, of these Bitcoin Magazine end of year 2020 articles on the way. So subscribe to the show, follow me on Twitter, and until next time, everybody, take it easy, guys. This has been a 111 production, and you are listening to Bitcoin Audible on the Crypto Economy Network.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.